Sometimes faced with temptation or the presence of evil, we can become kind of overwhelmed or maybe a little bit afraid, feeling like we're kind of helpless to the tricks of the devil or where he might lead us. But instead of that, I think as Christians, we should have a common refrain that we can kind of tell Satan that we won't follow him. It's simply, not today, Satan. Not today, I'm going to listen to your lies. Not today, I'm going to fall into your temptations. Not today, I'm going to follow you. Instead, I want to be focused on following Jesus Christ and being united to God the Father. Because for us, temptations can seem like a really bad thing. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray not to be led into temptation. And when we pray the act of contrition and confession or in our daily examination, we say that we don't want to put ourselves in a near occasion of sin. So it can feel like a failure even if we're tempted, even if we're presented with the opportunity to sin and turn away from God. But if all temptation is bad, then today's gospel makes really no sense at all. If sin or temptation in itself was bad, then Jesus shouldn't have been tempted. He certainly wouldn't have been led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert specifically to be tempted, as St. Luke tells us today in his gospel. So what is it that Jesus is doing in being tempted in the desert? How is this model for our 40 days in Lent meant to help us to maybe deal with the devil a little bit differently? How are we called to be able to say, not today, Satan, just as Jesus did in the gospel? I think at the heart of each of Jesus' responses isn't just the word of God, isn't just his divine revelation, though he quotes that. But at the heart of each of Jesus' responses is that he knows God the Father will provide for him. That beyond any shadow of a doubt, Jesus trusts that God the Father will give him good things. And so because of that, he doesn't need to grasp after other things. That even though he's hungry, he doesn't need to take it into his own hands to make stones into bread. Just because he doesn't know where his life's going to lead, or just because he doesn't want to be glorified and praised by others, means he doesn't need to worship Satan. Because he trusts that his Father will provide for him, he doesn't need to test him. That at the heart of his identity and his reaction to every single encounter, Jesus knows that God will provide for him. It's exactly the opposite of what our first parents, Adam and Eve, do in response to the temptation of the devil. Right? Because what the devil always does is he always lies. He takes something good and he takes something bad, twists it just enough to where it looks good to us. Even in his conversation with Eve in Genesis chapter 3, right? It says, Eve tells him that she knows they shouldn't eat it or else they're going to die. But then she looks at it, sees that it's desirable as food and for gaining wisdom, so she takes it and eats it. Brothers and sisters, that's what the devil always does in all of his temptations. He takes what we know is bad and he twists it just enough to where it looks good. But what Jesus is able to do is the tricks that the devil tries to play really have no effect on Jesus. He can see right through them because he knows the Father will provide for him. He knows he doesn't have to take things into his own hands and do it on his terms. Instead, what will lead to our salvation, what will lead to his ultimate joy, is to do the will of God the Father. To trust and know that he will provide for Jesus at every single moment. Now, for us as humans, that's a lot more difficult. We have a hard enough time trusting people in front of us that are worthy of trust. It's hard enough because of family history and just encounters with other human beings for us to trust them, let alone trust God who we can't see. But for Jesus, he had so many experiences, thinking back all the way before the creation of the world, when God the Father, out of love, perfectly provided for his Son. That Jesus never had to grasp or reach for things himself because the Father was always there giving him what he needed. So when the devil tries to use his tricks and tell him lies that, oh, well, God doesn't really have your best interest in mind, it's really easy for Jesus to see right through that. Right? That he goes, pardon me, Mr. Satan, but no, he always takes care of me. He's always taking care of me for forever. Even after these 40 days in the desert when I'm super famished and hungry, I know that he'll provide for me in my physical needs. Even in facing persecution and trial, I know that the Father will provide for me. So in this temptation in the desert, Jesus shows us how to see through the lies of the devil. To see that he always wants us to mistrust God, even just a little bit, so that we take things into our own hands and grasp for that sin. I think Lent is the perfect time for us to do what Jesus did in the desert. To shine a light on those lies of the devil and show him, no, that's not actually what's going to happen. That lie is not going to work on me because I trust perfectly in the love of my Heavenly Father. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just like Jesus did, that he will provide for me and give me what I need. It's exactly what Moses reminds the people of in the first reading. That he's explaining to them how they're called to come and bring their gifts to the altar. That they come and bring their first fruits, maybe after the harvest, after they're about to sell some of their livestock or anything like that. That when they come and bring this offering, he reminds them, think about all the history you have with God. Not just your personal history, but going back with your whole family when we were wandering Arameans, going back to our father in faith, Abraham. That eventually he provided for us and formed us a nation, but then we were enslaved in Egypt. But even then he provided us freedom through Moses and through the plagues, providing us with this land flowing with milk and honey, providing for everything that we'll possibly need. So Moses is saying, as you come and bring this offering, this sacrifice, always remember how God has provided for you. Always remember that you don't need to listen to those lies and temptations to mistrust in our Heavenly Father. But instead, you can know that he will give you everything that you need. Lent is a time for us to enter into temptation. The reason we give things up and fast and pray and give alms is so that there's lots of opportunities for us to say yes or no to that. Literally putting ourselves in a place of temptation. But that doesn't have to be bad. The purpose of that temptation is to shine a light on the lies of the devil. That whatever it is for us personally, that the ways he makes those bad things look attractive, we can start to say, no, devil, I don't need that. I don't need that today. For me personally, that temptation, how the devil often makes things look good, is to make me seek comfort. A lot of times I'll be thinking, ah, Father Devin, it's been a hard week. You deserve a little rest. Don't worry about that meeting you said they'll be fine. You don't need to show up to that. Just take a rest. Watch some TV. Oh, it's been really hard for you. You should have something really nice for you. Have a nice meal. Eat some extra dessert. Go to Chick-fil-A 3 times a day, whatever it is. That oftentimes, for me personally, how the devil makes sin look good is through comfort. Saying, Father Devin, you deserve this. Oh, it's been so hard. And so for Lent, what I often do, what I'm doing this year, is to give up warm showers. Everybody always goes, oh, Father, that sounds awful. And I go, yes, it is. Not supposed to be fun. But the point is, every day I put myself in a moment of temptation to say, am I going to choose comfort or am I going to seek the Lord? And that every time I reject that desire for comfort, it's easier for me to say, not today, Satan. Not today, I don't need that physical comfort. That's not the most important thing. Rather, I know my Father will provide for me. Even when I'm uncomfortable, even when I'm tired and burdened, he will be the one that gives me rest. And the more I use that moment of temptation to reject the lies of Satan, the easier it is to notice it in my daily life. The easier it is the next time the devil says, oh, well, you know, you could really just take a break, Father. You've been working so hard. I go, hey, not today. That sounds exactly like what you were trying to tell me about taking a warm shower. Get out of here, Satan. And in putting ourselves in a moment of temptation, we become more familiar with the tricks of the devil. So it's easier to reject them and choose the will of our Father. Brothers and sisters, let us use this season of Lent precisely to do that. To, yes, put ourselves in temptation, not because God wants us to sin or turn away from him. And to know that temptation and those trials in themselves are not bad. Instead, they can help us to notice the lies of the devil. to notice how he tries to lure us away from God the Father. Perhaps you're like me and it's in desiring comfort or rest. Perhaps it's in seeing that you deserve better things than you're getting. Perhaps it's just not to trust that God really cares for you. Maybe the things you do are never quite good enough for God, so why should I waste these 40 days and try to do this hard thing? It won't be good enough for him anyway. Brothers and sisters, those are all voices of the deceiver. They're all voices of the father of lies. Our job this Lent is to reject those lies. It's to know the truth and goodness of the love of our Heavenly Father. That like Jesus, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he will provide for us. That he cares for us, that he sees our needs and will respond to them as he can. So let us pray that this Lenten season will do just that for us. Will help us reject those lies and choose his truth. That through this time of testing and temptation, we'll start to become familiar with the voice of God. That we'll experience his new life here during this Lent and rejoice to experience it at Easter, when we see his resurrection come to full life in Jesus Christ.